Deuteronomy, and first look in the 11th chapter, and look down, if you will, to about verse 26, and then we will go to the 30th chapter and look down to about verse 15. In Deuteronomy 11:26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." And then if you will turn with me to the 30th chapter, and look down to verse 15. He says, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land which thou goest to possess." And then he goes on to say, "But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against thee, that I will set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So I think you can see from these two passages that we've read in Deuteronomy that the God of heaven is setting forth the fact that man is a creature of choice. The word creature, of course, is used in the New Testament. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. So the word creature is used to refer to mankind. And that's the way I use the term creature this morning. But you can see from these verses that God points out that Israel, that they were free moral agents, that they had choice. Now, God did not want them to make the wrong choice, and he warned them about what would happen if they did make the wrong choice. But he pointed out that choices were put before them. And we need to understand the fact that God has made us creatures of choice. Now, when we talk about man, we talk about him being a free moral agent. We simply mean by free that I do not have any genes or genetics. I don't know how to use all that term, that terminology, but in my system, neither do you, that causes you just to do anything against your will. In other words, you're not a robot. You're not a robot. In other words, God has not programmed you that you just have to do certain things. There are no outside forces. There are no inside forces. God has made you free, a free moral agent. When we talk about moral, we're talking about the business of right and wrong. You are a moral creature, and I am a moral creature. And by being a moral creature, that means I can choose. I can choose between right, and I can choose between what's wrong, right and wrong. I can choose between the two. And so we need to understand then that man has a free will. As we would go back in the Old Testament in Joshua 24 and in verse 15, The record would say, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, this is Joshua now, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, what did Joshua set forth here? That man is a free moral agent, that he can choose. He can choose to serve God, or he can choose not to serve God. The only creature on earth that can rebel against God is man. Now, everything else is programmed. As you look into the heavens and you begin to see the stars, they are programmed. They are all robots. When you look at the moon, it is programmed. When you look at the sun, it is programmed. None of these things are going to rebel against God. You go out in your garden and you plant beans, and if there is the proper season, that bean will come up. And if there is a proper season and it does not die, it will inevitably bring forth beans. Why? It is programmed. And any animal that you look at, if you look at even at the fish of the sea, when you look at the salmon as he goes back up the streams to lay his eggs or lay her eggs in the place where she, of course, was born, where her eggs came from, why does she do that? Does she choose to go back up there and do that? Absolutely not. She is programmed. Everything in this earth is programmed. But we're not programmed. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that basic truth that the Word of God teaches. Man is not programmed. God, when he made man, he made him a free moral agent. He made him where he could choose to serve God and glorify God because he wanted to. Why are we here this morning? We're here because we want to be here. That's the reason I'm here. That's the reason you are here, because we want to be here. Now, there are many people that are not here simply because they don't want to be here. There are people who have been among us who are no longer here because they have chosen to rebel against God. Now, is God going to coerce them and make them? No, they are free moral agents. They can make that choice. They can rebel. But for God to have a creature that could glorify him and glorify him without coercion or without being programmed, he made a free moral being. Many passages in the Bible sets this forth. As we would go to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew and look down, if you will, to about verse 37, when Jesus talked to Israel or talked to Jerusalem, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. What is he talking about? He's talking about the free moral agency of man. Ye would not. Israel rebelled. Jerusalem rebelled. And so we need to understand this, that when we begin to look at this truth, this does away with the theory in religion that God has decreed with himself the destiny of individuals. Now, the majority of people in the religious world believe Calvinism. And Calvinism teaches that God predestined man, that he predestined certain men to go to hell, and he predestined certain men to go to heaven. Well, let me show you. The God we serve created us free moral agents. But God has no evil in him. He cannot tempt man to be evil. As you would turn with me to James, the first chapter, and in the 13th verse, we would hear him say, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now, as you would turn with me to the book of John, John would tell us in 1 John 1 and in verse 5, "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God dwells in light. In him is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin. There is no evil in God. And God cannot tempt man to be evil. It would be wholly out of harmony with the God of righteousness and goodness and purity to create man evil. He created man good, and he did not create man where he must sin, or where man could not resist sinning, where he has to sin, as the Calvinists teach. He created us moral agents. He created us in his image. He created us with the ability of choice. Now, to be true free moral agents, he had to create us where we could do evil. He did not want us to do evil. But if he had simply programmed us simply to do good, then we'd be robots. You see, this is where evil comes into the world. When he created us moral, free moral agents, also there was that risk and that danger that a free moral agent would choose what? Not to be obedient, but to be disobedient. And so, as you look at the free moral agency of man, as you look at man, what does man do? He chooses to be evil many times. He chooses to do evil and he chooses to rebel against God. But when man does that, he is responsible. You see, I am a responsible creature. Whenever I rebel against God, I stand before him responsible for my rebellion. Why? Because I'm an intelligent creature, I have free moral agency. We need to learn that. That used to be a basic truth that we thought everybody in the Church of Christ understood. But now it becomes evident that many of gospel preachers don't understand this basic truth. Now this is basic to you and I living the kind of life that God would have us live. We are creatures of choice. What you find yourself involved in, you're involved in because you have made the choice. Now, as we begin to look at the choices now that are before all of us, there is the choice of good and evil that's before us today. Every one of us, we have good before us, and we have evil before us. Now, what will determine how I live? Who will determine whether I'll be evil or be good? Am I programmed to be evil? No. I make a choice. I choose to be evil. All the evil people you see in the world are evil because they have chosen to be evil. And the good people in the world are good because they have chosen to be good. And so as we began to look at the Word of God, the Hebrew writer tells us in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and looking on down, if you will, to about verse 14, you would hear the apostle say, but strong meat, Hebrews, yes, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, now listen, have their senses exercised to what? To discern both good and evil. Now, man is capable of what? Discerning good and evil. What did he tell Israel? What was put before Israel? Good and evil. Now, God did not want Israel to do evil and warned Israel what would happen if Israel did evil. But good and evil was there. Why? They were free moral agents. And a free moral agent has the right of choice. The right of choice, a will. In this world, you have a right to choose what you do. You can choose. Now you're responsible. If you choose evil, you're going to give an account for it, but you can choose it. Choose good and be blessed. And God has given us incentive after incentive to choose that which is good. And all good that is before man is from God. Every bit of it came from him. And that's what James told us in the first chapter of the book of James in verse 17. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And every good thing that we see in this world is from God. Go back and read the Genesis record and read in the first chapter over and over. When God got through creating something, what did he say? It was good. Let's just read one verse at least. In Genesis, the first chapter, and down in 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and evening and morning were the sixth day. Now, what did he do? Everything he had to do with was good. He created everything and it was good. Everything good is from God. And everything evil, you know who that's from? The devil. The devil. Let's go to John, the 8th chapter, and in verse 44 of that 8th chapter of the book of John. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, where does evil come from? It comes from the devil. Now, God does not tempt you with evil. We've already seen that from James, the first chapter, and looking at verse 13, when he says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The evil in this world comes from the devil. Now, he tempts man. The devil is the one that does the tempting. If you go back in the Old Testament, we look at Eve. Who approached her in the third chapter of the book of Genesis? The devil did. He was the one that tempted her to do evil. Now, she was a free moral agent. She could choose between right and wrong. She didn't have to sin. What did she do? She chose evil. And she was responsible for her evil that she chose. Just like if I choose evil, I'm responsible for the evil that I choose. Now we need to learn that. We're not some kind of robots and programmed to do evil, and you can't keep from doing evil. The Word of God does not teach that from Genesis to Revelation. The sectarian creeds of men teach it, but the Bible does not teach it. That we must not be affected with these evil teachings. We need to see who we are. We need to understand our will and the power of our will and the responsibility we have to reject evil. In the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, who tempted Jesus to do evil? The devil did. Over and over, three times, there is the record of the temptations. And what did Jesus do? Did Jesus succumb to evil? No. What did he always do? He did good. He was the Son of Man. He was in flesh. He was a man just like you and I are men. And he chose good. Eve chose evil. And all are responsible. As we look, we see then that Satan, he tries to tempt people today. He tries to tempt married people to do evil. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, he says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Here is a married man or a married woman, and they become involved with somebody else's companion. Who's responsible? That person is responsible. Those two people are responsible. They have been tempted by Satan. They didn't have to yield to the temptation. But through the temptation from Satan, what did they choose to do? Evil. Could they have refused to do evil? Yes. You see, that's the reason we're going to have to give an account. We are free moral agents. Now, the devil does not want us to obey the gospel. He wants to keep us from salvation. He does everything in his power to keep us from being saved. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the second letter, the fourth chapter, and in the fourth verse, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is the devil trying to do? He is trying to keep us from doing good. He's trying to keep us from obeying the truth. That's what he's trying to keep us from doing, if he possibly can. Because as we look in the world, we see that there is truth and error, and all truth is from God. God cannot lie. The apostle said, as he wrote to Titus in the first chapter of the book of Titus, and looking down to about verse 2, we would hear him say, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God, it's impossible for him to lie. So what emanates from God is truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth comes from God. All truth comes from God. He has revealed to us all truth through the Spirit. As we would go back to John 16 and verse 13, we would hear John say there, as Jesus now talks about the Holy Spirit coming and guiding them into all truth, John 16, 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. Truth has been spoken to us in this dispensation of time by Jesus Christ. God, who at sundred times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, this is Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, you know, we are free moral agents. We can choose truth. Where's truth come from? God. Where's it revealed? In this book. Every man has it. Man can choose truth, or man can choose error. That's my choice this morning. I can choose error. All error is from the devil, because the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. John 8 and 44, as we read a while ago, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. You see, no truth in the devil. God is truth. The devil is nothing but a liar. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, there are many lies in the world. The world is filled with religious lies. And every one of them came from the devil. He is a liar. He has preachers all over this country, all over the world, preaching his lies. How do you know? The Bible says so. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil has more preachers in Bullitt County than the Lord does. Many more preachers than the Lord does. He has more preachers in the world. Many more. Thousands. Hundreds. I guess you could say millions of the Lord knows. And all of them are preaching what? Error. But man is a moral creature. He is responsible. He is responsible to choose between good and evil, truth and error. It is before man. Man can examine. Man can see. Man is intelligent. And he can choose. Man can choose salvation or condemnation. Now that's the choice. That's the choice that all men have. Jesus said, as we would go back to the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, and began with about verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, what's been placed before the human family? Salvation or condemnation. Now, you can choose. You can choose this morning. If you're here this morning and you're in your sins and you've never obeyed the gospel, you're under condemnation. Now, you may be under that condemnation because... you are under that condemnation. Not maybe. You are under that condemnation because you've chosen to be there. You've made that choice. And that's what the human family needs to understand. This mealy-mouthed, tack-compromising preaching that's leaving people with the impression that you can't know and that maybe God has... A soul fixture, you can't help it, and all of that, there's error. You're a creature of choice. And everybody in this house this morning has made a choice. You have either chosen salvation or condemnation. There won't be any arguing at the judgment. Why? Because you've made the choice. If you die and stand before God and you have chosen condemnation, what can you argue about? What can you argue about? Why would you want to stand there and say, oh, maybe God will be merciful? No, he is merciful. But now he made you a creature of choice and you can choose salvation or condemnation. And that needs to be driven home to people. He said, if you want salvation, you must what? Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins. And of course, one must live faithfully. That's salvation. Or you can reject his gospel. And he told the Thessalonians through Paul, when Jesus comes the second time, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, he'll come in flaming fire doing what? Taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why will he do that? Because you're a free moral agent. That's the reason he's going to do that. I'm a free moral agent. I am an intelligent creature. I am not affected by the way I'm made. God has not made me in a way where I have to do things. I am not coerced into doing anything. In this earth, to a degree of sovereign, I make my decision. I make my decisions to rebel, or I make my decisions to obey. I make my decisions to do evil, or I make my decisions to do good. I can't lay it on anybody else. Also, when we begin to look at the Bible, there is hope and there is despair. Paul said, as he wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, and look on down with me to about verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, and you would hear the apostle say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, he talks about two people in this class, in this passage. He talks about those that have hope. And he says, you don't sorrow after those folks as you do after those that have no hope. He's talking about hope and despair. Now, that's a choice man makes. If you have rejected salvation and you have chosen to stand under condemnation, then in your death it will simply be despair. Well, you say, that's terrible. Who chose to be there? Every man. You're making the choice. You've either chosen hope or you have chosen despair. There is life and death. The wages of sin is death. That simply means that whenever I sin, my sins have what? Cut me off from Almighty God. But what has the Lord promised me? He has promised me salvation. He has promised me life in Christ Jesus. That's the reason the Son of God came and lived and died, that I might have life. And the apostle, or John, in the 10th chapter of the book of John, he said in John 10 and verse 10, "The thieves cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And Jesus said, "Now I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly." Now, I can have life in Jesus. Many other passages teach that we can have life in Jesus, and we choose, you see. We could also add to that heaven or hell. You've made the choice. Everybody that goes to heaven will have made the choice to go there. And everybody that goes to hell will have made the choice to go there. Everybody in hell will have chosen to be there. Oh, you say, oh, no, surely. Yeah, that's right. You're a free moral agent. You see the justice of God? We need to see who we are as creatures before God. We're the only creature upon this earth that has not been programmed. We are the only free moral agent in this earth. And we have control over our lives. And you and I, we are responsible for what we think, for what we know, what we believe, what we say, what we do, what we love, what we teach. We're responsible for our soul. And that would be a lesson within itself. I'm responsible for everything I think. If I'm thinking that which is wrong and vulgar, who's responsible for it? Old Donald Townsley is. God's not. I'm responsible for what I know. I'm responsible to know the truth. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm responsible. I'm responsible for what I believe. I'm responsible for everything I say. Jesus points that out. We'll give an account in Matthew 12. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. I'm responsible for what I do. If I go out of here and do wrong, who's responsible for it? I'm responsible for what I love. If I love the wrong things, I've chosen to love the wrong things. If I love the world, I love it because I've chosen to do it. Now, God has told me what He wants me to love. He wants me to love Him more than anything in the world. In Matthew 22 and 37, I am to love Him with all my soul, with all my mind. That's what He wants. That's what He wanted out of a free moral agent. That's the reason He made me that way. He wanted my love and He wanted my devotion. But He was not going to coerce it out of me. He only wanted it if I wanted to give it to Him. That is the basis of my free moral agency. He could have made a whole lot of robots again. He could have made us like monkeys. He could have made us like birds. But He didn't do that. He made us creatures of choice. Isn't that wonderful? But also it puts on us all of this responsibility. What would God have us choose? Truth, salvation, spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 and 3 that are in Christ, and heaven. John 14, 1 through 6. God would have us choose all of that. But at the same time, he tells us, as he told Israel, truth and error, all of these things are before us. He has given us great incentive to do good. He has not left us with any impression he ever wants us to do evil, but he has told us we're free moral agents. All of these things are before us. The incentive to do good, to serve him, and he'll bless us, and heaven will be out. But as a free moral agent, I can choose to rebel. I can choose to say he does not exist. I can choose to live the most ungodly life that can be imagined. I can do that because I am a free moral agent. And what a responsibility. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The psalmist. Oh, how wonderfully made we are. What creatures we are. What potential we have. And our great potential, and we fulfill ourselves whenever we serve our God as he has revealed. Are you here this morning and have been making all the wrong choices? Are you here and you have chosen damnation and despair instead of salvation? Won't you choose this morning to serve God, accept his Son, believe that Jesus is his Son, the only begotten Son? Repent of your every sin, confess your Lord before this audience, and we'll bury you with him in baptism. If you're an erring child and have made the wrong choices, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Jesus, we love you.